and welcome to this reading of the Sioux City Journal for today, Monday, March 25th. I'm your reader, Mark Bedford. We'll start with today's weather. Today there may be a severe PM thunderstorm and rain with a high of 47 degrees. Tonight there will be snow at times in the late with an accumulation of 1 to 2 inches and a low of 21 degrees. Tuesday will be cloudy and windy and colder with a high of 30 degrees. And now we turn to local and state news stories. In this story from the Sioux City Council, developments proposed at Sioux Entrance, hotel, convenience store, warehouse, housing planned. Dolly A. Butch reports from Sioux City. A developer wants to construct a hotel, convenience store, warehouse, and new housing on a parcel of land at Sioux Gateway Airport's entrance, according to documents filed with the City of Sioux City. The proposal from Midwest Hotels, LLC, was one of four proposals submitted to the city for the purchase and development of property at the northeast and southeast corners of Aviation and Discovery Boulevards. Discovery Boulevard is now known as Al Haynes Drive to the north and Southbridge Drive to the south. The north parcel includes 14.38 acres and the south parcel includes 7.33 acres. The City Council will be asked Monday to approve a resolution announcing the City's intent to accept Midwest Hotels LLC's proposal for the north parcel and to sell the land to the company at the full appraised price of $1.4 million. City staff is recommending that the Council accept no proposal for the south parcel at this time. However, City staff will continue conversations with interested developers regarding that property. Midwest Hotels LLC proposed constructing strip-type commercial on the south parcel, which would have brought its total investment with the hotel, convenience store, and warehouse on the north parcel to $20 to $30 million. The company is also offering to restore a historic World War II-era chapel after it is moved to a new location. The chapel has been vacant for a number of years. The city also received the proposals from Sergeant Bluff Eye Care, Connolly Developments, and Purdue. Sergeant Bluff Eye Care would purchase 4 acres of the north parcel for $174,240. The appraised price is $389,430, and construct an optometry clinic for a total investment of $3.3 million. Connolly Developments would purchase 14.38 acres, the entire north parcel, for the full appraised price of $1.4 million, remodel the existing housing, construct contractor bays for a total investment of $6.82 million, and work to attract a hotel or convenience store for the corner lot for a total additional investment of $4 to $10 million. Purdue would purchase 7.33 acres, the south parcel, for $1. That's what it looks like. Appraised value is $800,000 in exchange for a minimum assessment agreement on the company's adjacent property. The company is currently investing $50 million in facility upgrades to the adjacent property. Purdue would construct a parking lot for overflow truck and/or employee parking. The sale of the property will generate revenue for the airport and increase the overall tax base. The council will also be asked Monday to authorize the police department to submit an application to the State of Iowa Office of Drug Control Policy, Burn Justice Assistance Grant Program, for grant funding for a Flock Safety license plate reader camera system. The amount being requested is $126,650. The Woodbury County Sheriff's Department and the Sioux City DEA Drug Task Force are partnering with the police department on the grant application, according to city documents. If the grant is awarded, it would fund the initial setup of the camera system and be used from July 1, 2024 through June 30, 2025. The system's hardware would be owned and maintained by Flock Safety. The police department is asking the council to approve applying for this grant, which will provide funding for a 32-flock safety license plate reader camera system, the document stated. The Flock Safety LPR system hardware is owned and maintained by Flock Safety, and monies paid to Flock Safety go toward installation, maintenance, data storage, and access to National Flock Database. In simple terms, the Flock Safety System can be described as a subscription service. State's Mobile Workforce Center heading to Perry. Closure of Tyson Pork Plant to cost 1,200 jobs. From the Journal's Des Moines Bureau, reporting from Perry, Iowa. A recently created State Mobile Workforce Center will be deployed to Perry to assist workers who are about to be impacted by the closure of a food processing plant there, the state announced Friday. Tyson Foods earlier this month announced that it is closing a pork plant in Perry that employs 1,200 people, eliminating the largest employer in the central Iowa community. The plant is expected to close June 28th. Iowa Workforce Development will send its Iowa Works Mobile Workforce Center, a 32-foot custom-built bus, to Perry on Monday and Tuesday, March 25th and 26th. Career planners with the State Workforce Agency will be there to answer questions and prepare workers for navigating the unemployment process, including looking for new jobs, the state agency said. The Mobile Workforce Center was built to supplement the state's 18 Iowa Works offices to deliver workforce services to Iowans who may not have easy access to those offices. It was unveiled during a news conference last month. The State Workforce Agency has been working with Tyson Foods and Perry community leaders since the plant closure and pending layoffs were announced, the agency said. Responding to evolving situations like these is exactly the reason why we've deployed the Mobile Workforce Center to reach workers more quickly and directly, Iowa Workforce Development Executive Director Beth Townsend said in a news release. While this is just the initial phase of services for this June layoff, we are committed to supporting every impacted worker through the process to ultimately help them find a new career in the state, Townsend said. It's important that we not only provide wide-ranging support in these situations, but also take the time to identify the specific needs of the impacted workers in Perry. Information about the Mobile Workforce Center and a list of rapid response services for Iowa workers facing layoffs can be found on the Iowa Workforce Development website. Math and Munchies. Bryant Elementary first graders solve story problems over snacks. Earl Horlick reports from Sioux City. Elise Deck likes to play games with her sister, considers 78 to be her lucky number, and would like to be an engineer when she grows up. More importantly, she loves mathematics as well as chocolate chip cookies. Elise was in pretty good company this past week as her and her fellow Bryant Elementary School first graders participated in a Math and Munchies program. According to Bryant Principal Angela Holcomb, Math and Munchies was designed to take the scariness out of mathematics. Many grown-ups remember math was often taught and graded with timed tests, she said. That made the subject stressful, and lots of students ended by leaving elementary school fearing math. Nowadays, math is often taught through interactive story problems and even with games. In addition to meeting with Briarcliff Chargers basketball players and snacking on cookies and juice boxes, Bryant first graders were able to play math puzzles with family members. One especially popular game was Double Plus One, which was one in which a player had the chance to add or subtract from the number rolled on a dice. Then the player can mark off that number from the corresponding bingo card-like sheet. Andres Perez said he liked math but seemed to enjoy his cookie more than playing games. Mom Amaretta Felicia was impressed by the progress being made by Andres. I can really see a big difference in Andres from the start of the school year to now, Felicia said. Mike Saucedo was also happy with how far his son Emiliano is coming along in school. I like the way they're teaching math to kids, Saucedo said. It is more fun, plus parents can also get involved. Which is exactly what Holcomb wants to be the takeaway from Math and Munchies. Math shouldn't scare students, she said. Adding and subtraction can be as much fun as playing a game with the family. Though first grader Elise Deck is fine with addition and subtraction, she is ready to move on. Adding and subtracting is okay, she said. I think I'll like division better. And in other weather news, rain, thunder expected Monday. Snow and sleet may fall Monday night in Sioux City. Mason Doctor reports from Sioux City. Rain and possibly thunderstorms are expected Monday in the Sioux City metro, followed by snow and sleet as the temperature cools Monday night. The rain is likely to be fairly consistent through the morning and daytime hours Monday. The precipitation is expected to shift to a wintry mix of snow and rain in the evening hours, perhaps between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. Monday. Ice may develop later into the night and early morning hours as the temperature slides further below freezing, according to the National Weather Service in Sioux Falls. Conditions aren't expected to be severe, though road conditions could be slushy and slick Monday night. Monday's daytime high temperature is forecast at 47 degrees, dropping to 31 degrees on Tuesday. It looks like it's mostly a rain event for Sioux City, said Tim Masters, a meteorological technician with the National Weather Service. Snowfall totals for the Sioux City area are only expected to be around a trace to 2 inches. The snow and rain are expected to taper off Tuesday, followed by drier and somewhat warmer conditions Wednesday and Thursday. And now these stories in national and world news. From Russia, suspects appear in court. Nation observes day of mourning for victims of concert hall attack. From Moscow. 3 of the 4 suspects charged with carrying out the concert hall attack in Moscow that killed more than 130 people admitted guilt for the incident in a Russian court Sunday. Moscow's Basmany District Court formally charged, here we go, Delerzhon Mirzoyev, 32, Sadakrami Rakhabalizoda, 30, Mohammed Sobir Faizov, 19, and Shamsidin Fariduni, 25, with committing a group terrorist attack resulting in the death of others. The offense carries a maximum sentence of life imprisonment. The court ordered that the men, all Tajikistan citizens, be held in pretrial custody until May 22nd. Mirzoyev Rakhabalizoda and Shamsidin Fariduni all admitted guilt after being charged. The 4th, Faizov, was brought to court directly from a hospital in a wheelchair and sat with his eyes closed throughout the proceedings. He wore a hospital gown and trousers and was seen with multiple cuts, and he was attended by medics. The other 3 suspects appeared in court heavily bruised with swollen faces amid reports in Russian media that they were tortured during interrogation by the security services. One suspect, Sadakrami Rakhabalizoda, had a heavily bandaged ear. Russian media reported Saturday that one of the suspects had his ear cut off during interrogation. The Associated Press couldn't verify the report or videos which purported to show this. The hearing came as Russia observed a national day of mourning following the attack Friday on the suburban Crocus City Hall concert venue that killed at least 137 people. 182 were reported injured. Events at cultural institutions were canceled, flags were lowered to half-staff, and television entertainment and advertising were suspended, according to state news agency RIA Novosti. A steady stream of people added to a makeshift memorial near the burnt-out concert hall, creating a huge mound of flowers. As rescuers continue to search the damaged building and the death toll rises as more bodies are found, some families still don't know if relatives who went to the event targeted by gunmen on Friday are alive. Moscow's Department of Health said Sunday it began identifying the bodies of those killed via DNA testing, which will take at least 2 weeks. Russian authorities arrested the 4 attack suspects Saturday, with 7 more detained on suspicion of involvement. Russian President Vladimir Putin said during an address to the nation Saturday night. He claimed they were captured while fleeing to Ukraine, something Kyiv firmly denies. The attack, which has been claimed by an affiliate of the Islamic State group, is the deadliest on Russian soil in years. U.S. intelligence officials said they had confirmed the IS affiliate's claim. Meanwhile, Poland demanded an explanation from Russia on Sunday after one of its missiles strayed briefly into Polish airspace during a major missile attack on Ukraine, prompting the NATO member to activate F-16 fighter jets. Christians mark Palm Sunday. Pope decides to skip homily at last minute amid health problems. From Jerusalem. Thousands of Christian faithful attended Palm Sunday celebrations at Jerusalem's sacred Mount of Olives, marking the first day of Holy Week as conflict surges across the region. Pilgrims waved branches and fronds in the air, items that were placed before Jesus' feet as he was greeted by cheering crowds during his entrance into Jerusalem, according to the Bible. Earlier Sunday, Jerusalem's Church of the Holy Sepulchre, revered as the site of Jesus' crucifixion, also held a service. The annual celebration came as the Israel-Hamas war rages on in Gaza and as Israel has seen a huge downturn in tourism. The war began October 7th when Hamas militants from Gaza invaded southern Israel, killing 1,200 people and taking 250 others hostage. Israel responded with an air and ground war that has left more than 32,000 Palestinians dead, according to the health ministry in the Hamas-ruled territory. However, the conflict appeared to have had little effect on the procession, which swelled to a similar size as last year. "Although there is war, in my impression, I don't feel any kind of tension," said David Manini, a pilgrim from Italy. The celebration marks the beginning of the most somber week in the Christian calendar, which marks Jesus' crucifixion on Good Friday and his resurrection on Easter. "I'm here because I love Jesus Christ," said Jennifer Whedon, who traveled from the United States for the occasion. In Rome, Pope Francis decided at the last minute to skip his homily during Palm Sunday Mass in St. Peter's Square, avoiding a strenuous speech at the heart of a busy Holy Week that will test his increasingly frail health. Hobbled by bad knees and persistent respiratory problems, Francis also didn't participate in the procession of cardinals around the obelisk in the piazza at the start of the Mass. Instead, the 87-year-old Catholic pontiff blessed the palm fronds and olive branches from the altar. Francis was expected to deliver a homily halfway through the service, and a prepared text had been distributed to journalists. However, when an aide presented Francis with his glasses to begin reading, the Pope made clear he wouldn't deliver the remarks, leaving the crowd waiting in silence. Vatican officials didn't immediately explain why. The Vatican Press Office later said the homily was replaced by a moment of silence and prayer. Francis did pronounce prayers throughout the service and offered a long appeal for peace at the end of the Mass. He said he was praying for the families of those killed in what he called an inhuman attack at a suburban Moscow concert hall, and also asked for prayers for the martyred Ukraine and people of Gaza. Vatican officials estimated some 60,000 people attended the Mass, held under a sunny, breezy spring sky. Francis spent several minutes greeting them from the Popemobile, making several loops around the piazza at the end of the service. Francis has been battling on and off all winter what he and the Vatican have described as a case of the flu, bronchitis, or a cold. Israeli assaults continue in and near Gaza hospitals. UN Palestinian Aid Group says its food convoys are blocked. From Rafah, in the Gaza Strip. Palestinians who fled an ongoing Israeli raid of Gaza's main hospital described mass arrests and forced marches past bodies in interviews on Sunday, while the United Nations said Israel is now blocking its main agency helping Palestinians from sending food aid to the enclave's devastated north. Israel's military says it killed more than 170 militants and detained about 480 suspects in the raid on Shifa Hospital that began last Monday, calling it a blow to Hamas and other militants it says regrouped there as the war nears the six-month mark. Israel's military accuses Hamas of using hospitals as shields. Israeli jets on Sunday launched strikes near Shifa Hospital, which largely stopped functioning following a November raid. Israel's military early Sunday also stormed two hospitals in the city of Khan Yunis amid very intense shelling, the Palestinian Red Crescent Society said. Hardly any aid has been delivered in recent weeks to northern Gaza and Gaza City, where Shifa is located. The area suffered widespread devastation early in Israel's offensive after the October 7th Hamas attack that triggered the war. As of Sunday, Israel told the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees it will no longer approve agency food convoys to northern Gaza. UNRWA Chief Philippe Lazzarini said on social media, "The U.S., Qatar, and Egypt are trying to broker another ceasefire and release of Hamas-held hostages." Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said he was traveling to the U.S. on Sunday at Washington's invitation. 137 kidnapped children rescued in Nigeria. From Kaduna, Nigeria. More than 130 children abducted more than 2 weeks ago from their school in Nigeria's northwestern state of Kaduna were rescued Sunday and are getting psychological support before being returned to their families, the West African nation's military and government officials said. School authorities told the state government that a total of 287 students were kidnapped March 7th when motorcycle-riding gunmen invaded the remote Kiriga school. However, Kaduna Governor Uba Sani told local media late Sunday that only 137 young people were abducted during the attack. Such varying reports are common in Nigeria's kidnapping crisis, sometimes because of inadequate record-keeping or because some hostages escape. At least 1,400 students have been kidnapped from Nigerian schools since 2014, when Boko Haram militants seized hundreds of schoolgirls from Borno State's Chibok village. New England cleans up after major snowstorm. From Boston, New England spent Sunday shoveling out after a major storm dumped more than 2 feet of snow in some areas, leaving hundreds of thousands across the Northeast without electricity. The combination of sleet, freezing rain, and heavy wet snow was blamed for hundreds of delayed and canceled flights. Zach Taylor, a meteorologist for the National Weather Service, said heavy snowfall from the storm stretched across the region, including New York through Vermont, New Hampshire, and most of Maine. He said another significant winter storm is developing in the west and will continue through Monday across much of the Rockies, the Plains, and the upper Midwest. Police across the Northeast reported hundreds of traffic accidents due to icy roads, while Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, and Boston also saw heavy rain and flooding. Currency. Iran's currency fell to a record low Sunday, plunging to 613,500 to the dollar as its people celebrated the Persian New Year. Many Iranians have seen their life savings evaporate as the currency depreciated. Lebanon. An Israeli airstrike deep in Lebanon near the city of Baalbek, a stronghold of the Hezbollah militant group, wounded at least 3 people early Sunday, a local official said. Border. New York City Mayor Eric Adams nixed a planned Sunday trip to the U.S.-Mexico border after the U.S. State Department flagged safety concerns at one of his planned stops in Mexico, a spokesperson said, as his and other major U.S. cities struggle to house new migrants seeking asylum. Assassination. Brazil's federal police Sunday arrested two men suspected of ordering the killing of a popular Rio de Janeiro councilwoman in 2018. The assassination of Mariel Franco, 38, a black bisexual city councilwoman in a drive-by shooting, shook Brazil profoundly and reverberated across the world. Shooting. One person was killed and five others, including a police officer, were wounded in a shooting amid a disturbance in a bar parking lot early Sunday in Indianapolis, police said. And finally, Brazil. The death toll in heavy rains in Brazil this weekend climbed to at least 23 people Sunday between the southeastern states of Rio de Janeiro and Espírito Santo. And we have one local sports story before the halfway mark. In USA Hockey Division 2, the national championship, Sioux City 5, East Islip, New York 2. Metros claim championship title. Ryan Timmerman reports from Westchester, Pennsylvania. There's a national championship trophy coming back to Sioux City. With a 5-2 victory over the East Islip New York Chiefs, the Sioux City Metros high school hockey team earned the USA Hockey Division II National Championship on Sunday at Ice Line Arena in Westchester, Pennsylvania. "Getting there and winning that game is a great feeling," said defenseman Grant Harder. "Being able to celebrate after the game was absolutely electric. This team is my family, and after we game, we saw the video of everyone watching at Pease Pizza in Dakota Dunes, and that meant so much to us. We love that we get to bring home a national championship for them." The sides were even at 2-2 heading into the third period before Carson Fitch scored what ultimately amounted to the game winner. Fitch scored on a Sioux City power play with 3 minutes, 46 seconds left in the final period and was assisted by Tegan Doelman. Nathan Solma, the Metro's all-time leading scorer, added a goal less than 15 seconds later on, a Harder assist, and just for good measure, Fitch added an empty netter on a Solma assist with just over a minute remaining. "When we need scoring, we'll get it, but my role on this team is to get stops," Harder said. "It's what me and the rest of the defense is there for. It's our job to keep it as low scoring as possible. At the end of the day, we have about 70,000 people in our area, and we go against teams that play in cities that draw from millions of people. When you're out there on the ice, it doesn't matter where you're from, just have to put in the time and work hard. It all starts with the leadership." Sioux City, which went 6-0 at the national tournament. The Metros went 28-4-0-0 to win the Midwest High School Hockey League regular season title this season and took third at the state tournament prior to nationals. Sioux City fell behind 1-0 after East Islip's Anthony Marazito scored an unassisted power play goal with 13 minutes 37 seconds left in the first period. "In these types of games, you will, and should, have some lead changes," said Sioux City head coach Jesse Monell. "You have two high-caliber clubs that aren't used to losing, so you just have to play all three periods. We just kept our composure and kept players." The Metros got an equalizer with 1 minute 50 seconds left in the second when Noah Graham assisted a Hunter Ector goal after Sioux City killed a 2-minute East Islip power play early in the frame. 20 seconds after the Ector score, Tegan Doelman put Sioux City up 2-1 on a goal assisted by Charles Egdorf. That lead was short-lived, however, as the Chiefs evened it at 2 when Brian Slattery scored with 1 minute 33 seconds left in the second with an unassisted score. Sioux City again killed an East Islip power play after 2-minute roughing minor was called against the Metro's Caden Patrick at the 8 minute 57 second mark in the third. the Chiefs weren't as successful playing shorthanded, as a two-minute tripping minor that went against Christopher Lawler gave Sioux City an opening for Fitch to put the Metros ahead for good. Sioux City took 36 shots to East Islip's 28. In the 6 games at Nationals, Salma had 10 goals to tie East Islip's Ryan Anatra for most of the tournament. For his career with the Metros, Salma scored over 100 goals. All through season, we've had great leadership from our captains, Nate Salma, Grant Harder, Caden Patrick, and Cash Friggy, Monell said. One of the things about going into this weekend all season long, really, is they bought into leading by effort. It's not so much about the talent or fancy play, but about effort and how hard they skate. Once they play their game by effort and not by skill, that just molds a championship club. Cameron Patrick was superb in goal for the Metros in stopping the vast majority of those East Islip shots. Cameron Patrick was a key figure in Sioux City's success throughout the season, and especially at the national tournament, as the Metros outscored opponents 43-8 over their 6 games at Nationals. The Sioux City netminder even stopped an East Islip penalty shot with 1 minute 21 seconds left in the third to preserve a 4-2 Metros lead. If your skill guys show they're willing to take a puck to the face, or take a hard hit along the boards but still skate with maximum effort, you've got a championship-caliber team, Monell said. That was on display this weekend, and I'm just really excited to give these kids this opportunity. I've been with this program since 1980, and we're a small community, but since we started Siouxland hockey in the 1970s, we've competed against the Des Moines and Omahas and have the most championships out of any team in our league. We've won 8 state tournaments and 2 national titles. That's quite amazing. It takes great leadership from our board, our coaching staff, and our players. We've got really great people within our organization. Once again, you are listening to this reading of the Sioux City Journal for Monday, March 25th on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now these stories from college basketball from the men's NCAA tournament. Colec Marquette survived Buffs. From Indianapolis, Marquette showed resolve in critical moments and avoided another early exit from March Madness. Tyler Colec had 21 points and 11 assists, and David Joplin made 2 free throws with 7.4 seconds left to help the Golden Eagles finally put away Colorado 81-77 on Sunday in the second round of the NCAA tournament. In their third season under coach Shaka Smart, the second-seeded Golden Eagles, who are at 27-9, reached the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2013 by outlasting the 10th-seeded Buffaloes, who are at 26-11, and their dynamic offense. A year earlier, Marquette was also seeded number 2, but was eliminated in the second round by number 10-seed Michigan State. The Golden Eagles put that disappointment behind them by responding to every big shot by the Buffs with one of their own. We've had some adversity, Smart said, but the guys have never wavered in terms of their belief in our playing and our way, and they stayed connected with one another, and I think that won us the game today. Cam Jones scored 18 points, and Joplin finished with 14 for Marquette, which shot 61.8% from the field, but still couldn't shake Colorado until the closing seconds. In the East, number 1 UConn, 75, number 9 Northwestern, 58. Donovan Klingon, Tristan Newton, and the top overall seeded Huskies, who are at 33-3, overwhelmed the undermanned Wildcats at 22-12 to sail into the Sweet 16. Newton had 20 points and 10 assists, while Klingon finished with 14 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 blocks as Connecticut led wire-to-wire and became the first defending national champion to reach the regional semifinals since Duke in 2016. The Huskies built a 30-point cushion and matched a program record for wins set by the 2013-14 national championship squad with 33. San Diego, pardon me, number 5, San Diego State, 85, number 13, Yale, 57. Jaden Liddy had 26 points and 9 rebounds. Darian Trammell added 18 points, and the Aztecs at 26 and 10 rolled through the Bulldogs, who are at 23 and 10, to reach the Sweet 16 for the second straight year. Bez Mbang led a struggling Yale offense with 12 points. In the Western Division, number 6 Clemson, 72, number 3 Baylor, 64. Chase Hunter had 20 points and 6 assists, and the Tigers at 23 and 11 held off the Bears at 24 to 11 to advance to the Sweet 16 for the second time in coach Brad Brownell's 14 seasons. Clemson also made it in 2018 when it lost to Kansas in the third round. Ray J. Dennis led Baylor with 27 points, which included 21 points in the second half. Number 4, Alabama, 72. Number 12, Grand Canyon, 61. Mark Sears had 26 points and 12 rebounds. Muhammad Diabate scored all 9 of his points in the final 5.5 minutes, and the Crimson Tide, who is at 23-11, used a late surge to beat the Antelopes, who are at 30-5. The Crimson Tide advanced to the Sweet 16 for the 10th time overall and 3rd time in the last 4 seasons under coach Nate Oates. Tyon Grant Foster scored 29 points for Grand Canyon. In the South, number 4, Duke at 93, number 12, James Madison, 55. Jared McCain scored 22 of his 30 points in the first half and set a team record for an NCAA tournament game with 8 three-pointers as the Blue Devils, who are at 26-8, ended a dream season for the Dukes, who are at 32-4. The Blue Devils ended the nation's longest active winning streak at 14 games. Duke finished 14 for 28 from three-point range. Terrence Edwards Jr. scored 13 points for James Madison, which set a program single-season record for wins. Number 1, Houston, 100. Number 9, Texas A&M, 95, in overtime. Emmanuel Sharp had 30 points. Jamal Shade added 21 points and 10 assists, and the Cougars, at 32-4, held off the Aggies at 21-15. Texas A&M scored 14 points in 66 seconds late in the fourth quarter, including a three by Anderson Garcia to send the game into overtime. Tyrese Radford led the Aggies with 27 points and 15 rebounds. Midwest, number 1 Purdue with 106, number 8 Utah State at 67. Zach Eddy had 23 points and 14 rebounds as the Boilermakers, who are at 31-7, cruised past the Aggies, who are at 28-7. Trey Kaufman Wren added 18 points and 8 rebounds for Purdue, which broke the school's single-season record for wins. The Boilermakers also set a school record for most points in a March Madness game. Great Osabor had 14 points for Utah State. And in one other story from Men's March Madness, Van Dogs, Yale borrows Idaho's band. From Spokane, Washington. This past, the University of Idaho Marching Band adopted a new name. It's not the Vandal Marching Band, it's the Van Dogs Marching Band, after becoming the adopted band for the Yale basketball team during its run in the NCAA tournament. Yale's band was unavailable to join its team in the Pacific Northwest for the first weekend of the NCAA tournament because its spring break on campus and pulling together a traveling group wasn't possible. But the school found some willing stand-ins in the form of the Idaho Band, which quickly became a viral sensation on social media following 13th-seeded Yale's upset victory against number 4 seed Auburn on Friday. "We want to help out another university. We want to help out another band," said Spencer Martin, director of athletic bands at Idaho. The Vandal Marching Band, or Van Dogs, as they're jokingly calling themselves this weekend, wore T-shirts provided by Yale. They learned Bulldog, the Yale fight song, and performed it 5 or 6 times during the win over Auburn, despite not practicing it as a group until 9 a.m. local time Friday morning, when the musicians gathered inside Idaho's Kibbe Dome for practice. Yale would have brought its band if not for it being the end of a 2-week spring break. Yale was also without its band last week at the Ivy League tournament. But the Vandals were willing to help, especially with Idaho serving as the host school for the tournament site. Yale is covering the expenses for the Vandals to make the 85-mile trip from campus in Moscow. "We just wanted to do a good job, and I think it sounded pretty good," Martin said. "It certainly got stuck in our heads." Martin said the first call about the possibility was made on Sunday night, and the process for pulling together a group to perform started quickly. Idaho's band had not completely unpacked its gear from traveling to the Big Sky Conference tournament in Boise, Idaho last week, so that was ready to go. It also became a chance for musicians who weren't part of the group that traveled for the conference tournament to get the opportunity to perform in the postseason. A whole bunch of younger students got to go and do this with Yale. "This was not our most advanced band," Martin said. "We had a lot of youth, which was really cool. So it was neat to be able to give those students that experience." And now these stories from the women's NCAA tournament. Focused LSU rallies past MTSU. From Baton Rouge, Louisiana. LSU coach Kim Mulkey pledged that she wouldn't let an impending Washington Post hit piece about her derail the defending national champion Tigers during the women's NCAA tournament. A dominant second-half surge led by star forward Angel Reese and dynamic guard Flauje Johnson proved Mulkey right, at least for now. Reese's 20 points and 11 rebounds and Johnson's 21 points helped third-seeded LSU, who were at 30-5, pull away for an 83-56 second-round victory over number 11 seed Middle Tennessee, who is at 30-5, on Sunday. "Listen, man, we're not going to let one sleazy reporter distract us from what we're trying to do. Absolutely not," Mulkey said. "My kids didn't even know I said that yesterday. That team is not involved in this. They were in shock when they saw all that on the internet." Mulkey grabbed headlines when she railed against the Washington Post and even threatened legal action. Reese said Sunday that she didn't know anything about that, but other teammates did. "Coach Mulkey's had our back all year, so we've got to have Coach Mulkey's back," said forward Anissa Morrow, who scored 19 points. "We've got to play hard and for one another, and that's as simple as it is." LSU, playing out of Albany Region 1, trailed by 9 in the third quarter before surging to a comfortable lead, which ended the Blue Raiders' 20-game win streak. MTSU 6'6" starting center Anastasia Baldreva scored 9 points and blocked 3 shots, but fouled out just before the end of third quarter. Savannah Wheeler, the Conference USA Player of the Year, scored 21, and Scott scored 15 for Middle Tennessee, which lost for the first time since December 30th. In the Portland 3 division, number 7 Duke at 75 and number 2 Ohio State 63. Regan Richardson scored 28 points and added 7 rebounds as the Blue Devils, who were at 22-11, rallied from a 16-point first-half deficit to beat the host Buckeyes at 26-6 and earn a spot in the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2018. Richardson hit a 3-pointer from the wing to put Duke up 59-57 with 5 minutes and 21 seconds left. That sparked a 13-2 run by the Blue Devils that put the game out of reach. Cody McMahon paced Ohio State with 27 points. In Albany First Division, or Albany 1 Division, number 1 South Carolina 88, number 8 North Carolina 41. Freshman Malaysia Fulweli had 20 points, including 4 three-pointers, and the unbeaten Gamecocks, who were at 34-0, routed the visiting Tar Heels, who were at 20-13, to reach the Sweet 16 for the 10th straight time. South Carolina's Camila Cardoso had 12 points and 10 rebounds in her return from a one-game suspension. The Gamecocks used a 15-0 first quarter run to take control and get within four victories of a perfect championship season. Alyssa Ustby led UNC with 12 points. Number 3, Oregon State, 61. Number 6, Nebraska, 51. Talia von Ohlhofen had 19 points and 8 assists, and the Beavers, at 26-7, advanced with a victory over the visiting Huskers at 23-13. Reagan Beers had 10 points and 6 rebounds for Oregon State. She started against Nebraska but got into foul trouble, collecting her fourth late in the third quarter and heading to the bench. Jazz Shelley had 10 points and 7 assists for the Huskers. In Albany 2, number 5 Colorado, 63, number 4 Kansas State, 50. Tamia Sadler scored all 10 of her points in the second half to lead a balanced scoring attack, and the Buffaloes, at 24-9, defeated the host Wildcats, 26-8, who are at 26-8. Colorado, which had 6 players with 9 or more points, outscored K-State 19-7 in the third quarter to take a 52-42 lead into the fourth quarter. Gabby Gregory scored 12 points, and Ayoka Lee added 10 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 blocks for the Wildcats, who had multiple chances to trim the deficit to 3 in the fourth quarter but couldn't get the shots to fall. Number 5, Baylor at 75. Number 4, Virginia Tech, 72. Jada Walker scored 26 of her career-high 28 points in the second half to lead Baylor to a 75-72 victory over Virginia Tech. The 5th-seeded Bears, who are at 26-7, advanced to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2021. Playing in her home state, Walker connected on 9 of 16 from the floor and 9 of 10 from the foul line. Matilda Eck paced 4th-seeded Virginia Tech, who is at 25-8, with 19 points, while Georgia Amours and Clara Strack each finished with 18. Strack was once again filling in for All-American Elizabeth Kidley, who tore her ACL in the regular season finale. And in Portland 4, number 1 Texas, 65, number 8 Alabama, 54. Aaliyah Moore matched her career best with 21 points and had 10 rebounds and made a timely defensive play in the fourth quarter to help the Longhorns, who are at 32-4, beat the Crimson Tide, who are at 24-10. Freshman Madison Booker also scored 21 for Texas, which has its most victories since the 1987-88 season. Booker wears number 3 in honor of Kevin Durant, who was at the game. Sarah Ashley Barker scored 17 for Alabama, and Aaliyah Nye added 14. And finally, number 2 Stanford, 87, number 7 Iowa State, 81, in overtime. Brooke Dimitri hit a go-ahead three-pointer with 18 seconds left in overtime, and Kiki Iriathan scored 11 of her career-high 41 points in overtime, securing the Cardinals, who were at 30-5, a place in the Sweet 15, with a thrilling win over the Cyclones, who were at 21-12. Addie Brown knocked down a three-pointer from the top of the arc with 31 seconds left in overtime to put Iowa State ahead, only for Dimitri to answer from nearly the same spot moments later, and 6 of her 8 total points came on timely threes. She also hit 2 free throws with 11.7 seconds left to help seal it. And now these stories from the NBA. Antetokounmpo, Middleton help Bucks roll past Thunder. From Milwaukee, Giannis Antetokounmpo had 30 points and a season-high 19 rebounds. Chris Middleton scored his second career triple-double, and the Milwaukee Bucks trounced the Oklahoma City Thunder 118-93 on Sunday. Middleton had 11 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists for his first triple-double since January 20, 2018. Milwaukee broke open a close game in the second half as Oklahoma City fell out of the Western Conference lead. The reigning NBA champion Denver Nuggets didn't play Sunday and moved a half game ahead of the Thunder. Oklahoma City posted its lowest point total and shot its lowest percentage at 371 of the season. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 12 points, the first time since January 19th he was held below 20, and sat out the entire fourth quarter for the Thunder after the Bucks had built a lopsided lead. This marked the first time since a February 3rd victory at Dallas that the Bucks had Antetokounmpo, Middleton, and seven-time All-NBA guard Damian Lillard on the floor for the same game. It was the first time since a January 31st defeat at Portland that Milwaukee had its preferred starting lineup of Antetokounmpo, Lillard, Middleton, Brook Lopez, and Malik Beasley. 76ers 121, Clippers 107. Tobias Harris scored 24 points, and Tyrese Maxey added 19 of his 24 in the second half in Philadelphia's road victory over James Harden in Los Angeles. Harden had 12 points and 14 assists in his first game against the 76ers since he forced his way out of Philadelphia last November. Pelicans 114, Pistons 101. Zion Williamson scored 36 points, and visiting New Orleans beat shorthanded Detroit. C.J. McCollum scored 23 points for the Pelicans, who have won 5 of 6. The Pistons played without 4 starters. Timberwolves 114, Warriors 110. Anthony Edwards scored 23 points and made 3 of 4 free throws in the final 12 seconds for Minnesota, in a home victory over Golden State. Naz Reid added 20 points and a season-high tying 12 rebounds. Heat 121, Cavaliers 84. Haywood Highsmith scored 18 points and Miami led by as many as 45 in a victory over visiting Cleveland. It was the biggest lead for the Heat in more than a decade. And finally, Lakers 150, Pacers 145. Anthony Davis had another monster game with 36 points and 16 rebounds. LeBron James added 26 points and 10 assists, and Los Angeles held off visiting Indiana. Pascal Siakam scored 36 points for the Pacers. And now these stories from the NHL. Canes Anderson gets sixth straight win. From Raleigh, North Carolina. Brady Skjei and Sebastian Aho scored as the Carolina Hurricanes beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 2-1 on Sunday night for their sixth win in 7 games. Frederik Andersen made 31 saves and earned his sixth consecutive victory since returning from injury on March 7th. Capitals 3, Jets nothing. Alex Ovechkin scored twice to help Washington beat visiting Winnipeg. Ovechkin has 26 goals this season after scoring 8 in his previous 5 games. Charlie Lindgren stopped all 27 shots he faced for the shutout. The Capitals have won 4 of 5 to move into a playoff position in the East. Avalanche 5, Penguins 4 in overtime. Jonathan Drouin scored his second goal of the game 54 seconds into overtime, and Colorado rallied from a 4-goal deficit to beat visiting Pittsburgh for its 9th consecutive victory. Nathan MacKinnon extended his point streak to 18 games. Devils 4, Islanders nothing. Jack Hughes and Timo Meier each had a goal and an assist. Kaapo Kekkonen made 37 saves, and New Jersey beat host New York. Panthers 4, Flyers 1. Sam Reinhart scored 2 goals to reach 50 on the season, and Brandon Montour added 3 assists, and Florida won in Philadelphia to snap a 4-game skid. Senators 5, Oilers 3. Defenseman Jacob Chychrun scored his second power play goal to break a tie with 3 minutes 3 seconds left, and Ottawa held off visiting Edmonton. Stars 4, Coyotes 2. Miro Heiskanen broke a tie with 5 minutes 28 seconds left, and Dallas beat host Arizona to win its fourth consecutive game. Lightning 3, Ducks 2 in overtime. Anthony Cirelli scored 59 seconds into overtime on a two-man breakaway, and Tampa Bay won in Anaheim. Canadiens 5, Kraken 1. Alex Newhook had 2 goals, and Montreal scored 4 times in the first period to beat host Seattle. And finally, Sabres 4, Flames 1. Tage Thompson had a goal and an assist in the third period, and Buffalo pulled away from host Calgary. And that does it for today's reading of the Sioux City Journal for Monday, March 25th. I'm your reader, Mark Bedford. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. And thanks for listening.